but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
What's going on with the 49ers? You want to know. Jennifer Lee Chan covers the 49ers. She's also teaching a little bit. We got to hear more about this. Covers the 49ers, NBC Sports. She's joining us now. Covers the beat there for the 49ers, and she's fresh out of class. I got to know what you're teaching. What are you teaching?
I teach Pilates, so I've got a break, and then I have two more this evening. So, yep.
Pilates might be the hardest thing I've ever done.
It's not easy, that's for sure. If it's easy, there's something wrong.
Okay, so I went into a class. I'm going to out myself here. I went into a class at my local gym, and these wiry-looking ladies that are like in their 50s, 60s, and 70s are all up in the front. They got there early. They got the best spots. I'm like, how hard could this be? But my body weight, like, you know, I'm carrying some lean muscle mass here. My body weight is bigger than theirs, and I'm going through these exercises. They're crushing me. You must see those same four or five people every class you teach.
Oh, yeah. They're definitely regulars. I have 12 in a class. So, yeah, it's definitely good energy. It's a lot of fun and lots of regulars. But, yeah, I do have some men that come in, and I think honestly, it's the most humbling thing for anybody. There are some 49ers players that do it. Fred Warner is a big advocate of Pilates. He does it quite a bit. A guy who went to the Jets, Javon Kinlaw, also does it quite a bit as well. So Jimmy Ward, yoga and Pilates, he plays for the Houston Texans. So, I mean, I think it's a good thing to incorporate in your whole fitness regime.
Totally a good thing, but not an easy thing. Jennifer Lee Chan is with us, covers the 49ers. Can we just go all over the map? The Brock Purdy situation seems like it's being handled correctly. What's your read on what's going on with Purdy and how the Niners have handled it?
I mean, John Lynch never talks about contract negotiations, for him to say that it's going in the right direction, I think, is a good thing. So I think they're not too far off. You know, it has yet to be completed. But I think, you know, they're not too far off of that $55 million a year average, which is where, you know, most of the quarterbacks kind of sit right now. $60 million a year for Dak Prescott, I think, is kind of an anomaly and maybe not the smartest move by the Dallas Cowboys. But, you know, you've got Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, they're all sitting right about $55 million a year. Brock Purdy has not made that much money being the last pick in the draft. So, you know, for him to make about that would be, I think, fair. I know a lot of people have said, no, he should get 40, take a team-friendly deal, but he hasn't made any money, and he is the leader of the franchise. He is the quarterback that will be the franchise quarterback for the long haul. John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan have all said, hey, we want him here as long as we're here. So there is a commitment on both sides to make this happen.
I think he's the right guy. Meanwhile, you've got Kittle in that contract situation unfolding in the background, and you have, you know, how did they handle Debo? What do you make of kind of their off-season plan? You can kind of see what they're trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, this is going much smoother than it has in the past. You know, 2 years ago, it was Debo Samuel holding out, coming in around training camp, and then it was Brandon Ayuk hold in, and that was very drama-filled. This year, you know, they've already got Kittle's contract done. They're looking forward to maybe get Fred Warner's done as well a year early. So the fact that they're getting close and they wanted no drama during the offseason, I think they learned their lesson. I would at least hope they did, so that there's no drama during training camp and they just can focus on ball, getting guys, you know, up to speed, getting them healthy and ready for the season instead of having drama. And, you know, no one wants to be on SportsCenter for that type of stuff.
Yeah, right. The questions of last season left me thinking about the window to compete. How long do you think they have? You know, they've been to a couple Super Bowls, they didn't win it, but you know, we always talk about the window to compete. It feels like it's still open right now, isn't it?
I would think so. I mean, you look at who they've got. I mean, if, you know, Trent Williams maybe has a couple years left. Christian McCaffrey, I think he makes a huge difference. The fact that those two guys were out of the lineup for a lot of last year makes a huge difference. They've done a good job of infusing the roster with younger talent. They didn't as much before, but every one of the guys that they drafted last year made a contribution, even if it was just returning or it was on special teams. They all got on the field. I mean, from Dominic Pooney, who, you know, was a third-round pick who ended up being a starter on the offensive line, to, you know, defensive back Renardo Green, safety Malik Mustafa. I mean, those guys were out there. So, I mean, they all had an impact on what they were doing on the field.
The offensive line felt to me like the right side of the offensive line needed some addressing. Did they do anything enough in the draft or enough? Is there enough moves to be made to help the line a little bit?
You know, what's funny is that there's, you know, I think the thought in the building is that their offensive line is good enough. When you look at the PFF grades, they're mid-range to upper third, you know, so they're not bad when you rank them against, you know, other offensive lines throughout the league. They did add a guard late in the draft, I think 7th round. They picked up DJ Humphries as a swing tackle option. I mean, he's a former first-round pick. You know, he's a little bit older, but he's a guy who can be a solid swing tackle. But they like everybody they have. The opening that they do have that they'll have competition for is left guard. But, you know, when Christian McCaffrey's on the field, it changes how long the offensive line has to protect. And when he's out there, it makes a huge difference. When Trent Williams is out there, it also makes a huge difference. So while the offensive line maybe gets a little bit of a bad rap outside the building, I think inside the building, they're very confident and happy with who they have.
Help me out with the McCaffrey situation, because you and I think, had messaged a little bit about the draft pick, the 49ers picking up an Oregon running back, Jordan James. What's McCaffrey's status, and, you know, how will they manage him, even if he's ready to go and healthy?
I mean, Christian McCaffrey's a hard guy to take off the field because he doesn't want to come off the field, but he has been nicked up. So, I mean, hopefully they'll kind of massage his reps a little bit so it's not as crazy as it has been. But, I mean, like, when he's been healthy, he wants to be out there. But I think it's good to get, as he gets, you know, up older in age, to have a guy who's able to do what he can do out there. And from what you've told me, it sounds like Jordan James is a great option who can also not just run the ball, but it can also run routes and catch passes. I think that was the thing with J.P. Mason last year. They really liked the way he could run, but he's not a reliable route runner, and he's not a reliable pass catcher. He's tried to do that by getting a jugs machine during the offseason, but he's a really good runner. But to have that other option for running back, I think, really makes Kyle Shanahan's offensive scheme much more dynamic.
The rest, I look at the NFC West, and I am always kind of looking over and seeing what everybody's doing. But is there a temptation in San Francisco to kind of look over at the other teams in the NFC West, see maybe some teams in transition, others, you know, building defensively? I look at Seattle, I look at Arizona, I look at the Rams. How do you see that division, Jennifer, as it shapes up towards this next season?
Well, I think the 49ers in the draft definitely took a page out of what the LA Rams did. I mean, with drafting a really young defensive line, to have some energy there and to have some aggressiveness. I mean, Jared Verse really stands out from the two games that the 49ers played the Rams, you know, his ability to get at the quarterback. So I think they took kind of that blueprint and wanted to do the same thing. I mean, drafting 5 defensive players with their first 5 picks, that's something they haven't done since 1981, which was also a good year for them. That was the year they won their first Super Bowl.
You wrote recently about George Kittle's advice to Brock Purdy. I think Kittle, for people who don't understand Kittle, can you help explain what kind of voice he has in that locker room?
Kittle is like one of the most positive people I've ever met, and he doesn't just talk to people on the offense. He talks to people across the board. The interesting thing about the 49ers locker room is that it's mixed up between offensive defense. So he has a locker that's kind of close to the corner where Dre Greenlaw was, where Talanoa Hufanga was. Nick Bosa is around the corner, so they get a lot of, you know, open opportunities to talk to guys that not necessarily offensive side. But his contract extension in 2020 after his rookie contract, kind of similar to Brock because he was a late-round pick, he was 5th round, So that one went 7 months, went into training camp. And the guy who really was in his ear to kind of, you know, give him confidence that it would all work out was Richard Sherman. And Richard Sherman said, hey, man, it's the contract negotiations are like braces. They suck when you have them. They hurt. They look awful. He's like, but once you get your braces off, you forget you even had them. And you've got, what do you say? You've got a great smile. You got a bag of money and you're happy. So he kind of passed that analogy on to Brock Purdy. And, you know, the fact that Brock Purdy has shown up for OTAs and training, you know, and the offseason program speak to the leader he is. And George Kittle is just happy that everybody's there. The energy has been good. I think that's something that was lacking last year with the drama. And then also just playing so many games in the postseason and then having to, you know, the offseason be short. I think everybody's got that itch to really get back on the field now.
Yeah, you make a good point in the piece you wrote for NBC Sports Bay Area that, you know, you've got guys that were not high draft picks in Kittle and Purdy who, you know, sort of have become kind of the tent poles of the offense along with Christian McCaffrey. The power structure in that organization, the York family obviously is the ownership. You've got John Lynch as the general manager. You've got Kyle Shanahan. The Yorks say that those two guys aren't going anywhere. How has that changed, though? Do you see those two guys growing together as a GM and a coach, or how is that relationship?
Oh, it's really good, and I think, you know, it's something that the 49ers didn't have for quite some time. It was like the GM had his role and the coach had his role. The fact that they work so well together, and I think it's gotten better over time. I think their first draft class, you know, there were some hits and misses. Joe Williams is a guy that kind of stands out to me as a huge miss. But they've gotten better, and you see the draft classes be more and more productive. I mean, yes, there's no one who's going to hit 100% on all their draft classes, but they've done a good job at, you know, it's not just John Lynch saying, oh, this running back looks great, but it doesn't fit into Kyle Shanahan's system. It's really they call it a consensus where the scouts come and bring players to them, the position coaches take a look at them and how they can fit into the system, and then together they all go out, you know, decide which players are the ones that are going to be on their draft board. So the fact that they have equal input, I think, makes the system and the organization run much more smoothly than it has in the past.
All right, let's look over a little bit at another organization before I let you go here. Cleveland Browns draft Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders. There's a lot of people, obviously, in our region of the country interested in that because Gabriel was at Oregon. Did that raise eyebrows, you know, among other NFL reporters when you see a team take two QBs and looks like they've created a little problem on draft day?
Yeah, they're an interesting organization, aren't they?
Or I think I'm being nice.
yeah, try to be PC here. I mean, the whole Shedeur Sanders slide was crazy. And the odd connection to the 49ers is that Jeff Ulbrich's son, who made the prank call to Shedeur Sanders, Jeff Ulbrich played linebacker for the 49ers. And then, obviously, he's a coach for the Atlanta Falcons now. So there was a little kind of like, oh, this is kind of connected, you know, the 6 degrees of separation to the 49ers. But just crazy how that whole scenario played out. But, you know, the Browns aren't exactly an organization. You know, talk about the 49ers and how they work together to find their draft picks. I mean, that shot of the draft war room when they selected Shedeur Sanders, I mean, I thought that spoke volumes.
Yeah, it was uncomfortable, and you could see nobody was smiling, and they're going, now we got a problem. Jennifer Lee Chan, NBC Sports Bay Area. All right, you have some connection to Portland. Is it your dad that lived here, or you grew up here, or what's the story?
I actually grew up in Olympia.
There it is.
Not Portland, okay. But yes. I've been to Portland quite a bit. Yes.
We're going to claim you anyway. We're going to say Pacific Northwest, Jennifer Lee Chan.
Absolutely.
All right. Okay, thank you for joining us fresh off the Pilates class. I hope this was more enjoyable than some of those poses for some of the people in your class. But thank you, Jennifer, for joining us.
No problem. Good to talk to you, John.
All right, take care. All right, there she goes. She said she had to teach. I thought, you know, what's she teaching? Philosophy? Religion? She's teaching Pilates, okay? I don't know if you've done a Pilates class, Stephen, but I did one about 2 years ago. I said, how hard could this be? I go into the gym. I bang the steel, I pick up the weights, I ride, you know. And so I go into this Pilates class, and yes, it's these wiry women with no body fat right up front who are like planking up there, no problem. And I'm in the back with my arms shaking, Everything hurts. You know, if you've ever done a Pilates class, you know what I'm talking about. Have you ever done a Pilates class?
No, I've never done Pilates class. I've never done a yoga class, but I've done a lot of yoga, and I feel like that's, you know, it's a lot of the same thing, where it's like your body, you're stretching it in a way that you didn't know your body is supposed to be able to do that.
It's, and it makes sense. It's your own, you're using your own natural body strength and core strength and your leverage and your weight. And but, yeah, the women who are up there, they weigh about a buck 15. They might be like 70 years old, no body fat. They arrive early. You know them. You can you spot them a million miles away in the parking lot of the gym as they're walking in there. They got a rolled up mat under their arm, and they're early. They're never scrambling in late like I would be. And I was like, how hard could this be? Oh, I found out. All right, some parting thoughts coming up.